Coming to you from Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
And streaming around the world.
Around the world.
You're now tuned in to the Sales Samurai Podcast, the only B2B sales podcast providing unfiltered, unapologetic views and tactics directly from the sales trenches. Here's your host, Sam Capra.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Sales Samurai. Thanks for listening. Before we begin, do us a favor, take a moment to subscribe or download. On today's show, we're going to be discussing cold calling, specifically tips and techniques around improving your phone skills. I have a very special guest to actually help us tackle this topic, really near and dear to his heart based on what he's doing right now as a VP of sales. Colin Spector absolutely lives and breathes all things sales and marketing. As I mentioned, he is the VP of sales for Aurum, which is a fast-growing SaaS company, helping organizations cut through the noise and generate live conversations with their target market. Hey, Colin, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you, man. How are you?
Sam, doing great. Thank you. How's it going? They keeping you busy today?
You know what, man? They're trying to make me earn some money today, and that's never a good thing, brother. How about you? Yeah.
No, absolutely. Every day. Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on the show here.
No, man, I'm really excited. This is one of the conversations I was looking forward to because, you know, cold calling is one of the biggest challenges facing salespeople. I mean, I think it's been since the dawn of sales. Cold calling has been the kryptonite, if you will. And I think it's only been exacerbated. I want to get your thoughts on it with everything that's been thrown at people, social selling and cold calling is dead. No one picks up their phone anymore. All this mumbo jumbo from the so-called experts out there. And I want to kind of go down that path. But before I do, I'd like to share a little bit more. Kind of tell the listeners a little bit about your journey, Colin, because you've got a pretty unique background from a sales perspective. Tell us a little bit about kind of how you got started in sales, how long, that type of stuff, Colin.
Absolutely, Sam. Appreciate that. And yeah, I'm super excited to talk about cold calling and what's led to my present role as VP of sales of Aurum.
Yeah.
But, you know, starting from the beginning, I mean, I've always kind of been in sales in some respect. My dad had me selling Pokemon cards in the elementary school or like sixth grade or whenever Pokemon was hot. I remember he gave me a whole cart and he said, here, you got to sell, you know, $20 a pack to all your friends. These are really cool cards right now. And so I think that's actually how I got my start, you know, in sales and then, you know, doing the door-to-door magazine drives for the schools. But, you know, from a career perspective, I mean, sales has always been something a part of my journey. I mean, I did door-to-door flower sales. I sold a nutrition product called That's It Fruit Bars, which is pretty well known. It's available in Starbucks and JetBlue and big enterprises today. How I really got into software sales was I was inspired by one of my professors, a professor named John Greathouse at UC Santa Barbara. I took his sales course and his whole course was on enterprise sales, software, this whole thing of technology sales, which was like kind of still a new thing. But he said, look, like if you want to go make it as a sales professional, like you don't have to go to medical devices. Like there's this new, there's technology sales out there and it's where you can go make the money of doctors and lawyers without, you know, having the smarts, so to speak. So I was like, that sounds great.
I would have been like, you had me, I didn't need to be, have the smarts. You had me at that.
Right. I think to be in sales, you have to have a high degree of intelligence and character and smarts, but you don't have to necessarily have the kind of book smarts, you know, and follow that path of lawyer, doctor, you know, accountant, et cetera. Right. So I think there is a path for us to kind of make our mark in the world. You know, that spurred my interest in, you know, technology sales, which, you know, led to me really focusing on finding a technology sales job. And I did a startup out of college with a couple friends. We did athletic apparel and a medical device type startup. And we had a good run on it in a couple of years, but didn't really take off. And then, you know, I just remember that professor Greathouse just telling me, you got to do technology sales. Like that's where you'll thrive and grow as this profession is taking off. Cloud and everything was exploding.
Right.
And so what was deciding to move to New York and looked up any kind of technology sales job in Silicon Alley, as it was called at the time. I was living in Santa Barbara and moving to New York, actually chasing love, a girl I met out on a trip abroad that had moved out there. So I was like, I need to move to New York. I need to get a job. And I know it's in technology sales. And so applied to many jobs and got lucky and serendipitously landed at Namely, which was a HR and payroll technology company. And that was my first kind of entry point to software sales. And, you know, really stayed at Namely for 6 years, had a great run there, SDR to account executive, to manage, to a regional sales manager, to really ending my career there as a director of sales. And then that led to my, you know, present role now jumping to Aurum for the last couple of years, VP of sales for Aurum. We're a cold calling and sales conversation technology platform.
And from a sales org standpoint, Colin, just kind of give us a high level. I know you guys have gone through some massive, like you guys have been growing like wildfire. Talk a little bit about, hey, that growth that you've seen just from your internal sales organization. What does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I've been with Aurum now 2 years. When I joined, we were bootstrapping with just three of us on payroll, really focused on, two of us were taking commission and only a couple of us were taking salaries. You know, I got a couple kids and a family, so I was one of the salary guys. But you know, we did a really great job in the first year figuring out our ideal customer profile, you know, the integrations that we needed to have in place. You know, it took a lot of cold calls to get the target right and land the right accounts. But since that time, I mean, we've gone from really just, you know, or two kind of full-time reps. One of them went more into marketing. And then now we're at five account executives. We've got, you know, three STRs. So just closing on our Series A. I think by the time this will be released, we'll have announced that publicly. So we're definitely entering exciting times at Aurum.
Fantastic, man. That's awesome, man. Well, you know, I I'm super excited to have you on because one of the things that, and I don't by any stretch of the imagination think I have the answers, I think cold calling and prospecting is one of those type of things. You've got to be a constant student. You've got to be just disciplined in testing, learning, and then guess what? Do it all over again, because just as soon as you think you got it, things are going to change. They're going to evolve. You have to adapt. I'm really excited to talk about cold calling. And what I want to focus on with you, Colin, is specifically tips and techniques around improving on the phone side of things, which I think has really been the biggest challenge for most sales reps. I think that became even more challenging post-COVID or during COVID, if you will, trying to connect with somebody on the phone. So I want to spend the rest of our time talking through that. Give me a high level from your perspective, because I'm hearing it quite a bit. Like, what role does cold calling play in today's selling landscape? Is it still necessary? Is it viable? Should we be doing it? Or just kind of give me your overall thoughts in general.
Cold calling is dead. Don't do it. No. it's very much alive, but you know, we don't want it to get too crowded on the phone. So let us make the calls and you guys can focus on email. No, but really we, you know, for those that say cold calling is dead, it's usually because it's like the video prospecting sales guy or say, you know, salesperson, you know, preaching that, or the intent data salesperson preaching that, but you still got to call those people. So I'm not sure why anybody would say cold calling is dead. Look, we're big believers in an omni-channel approach, Aurum, and what we even prescribe to our clients. We're never telling you that the phone is the only way. It's the only channel you should be investing in. No, like it is about the holistic you know, sequence, right? The sales campaign that you're putting these contacts through, right? Like what touches are you putting on them? And by the way, like different personas respond differently to different channels, right? So to maximize the coverage of your TAM, your total addressable market, you have to address all the channels.
Right.
Calling, LinkedIn, email, direct mail making a comeback in many cases. You know, there's Twitter, there's social, texting also in some markets is acceptable, but certainly the phone, you know, and I see the phone just as a part of that larger strategy. You know, and to answer the question, I mean, you know, if you're sending all these personalized, customized emails, which many shops do these days, it's great. Like, love the fact you're spending time to research. You should research and have thoughtful conversations with the people you're calling, right? I think the kind of connect and pitch is different than the type of sale that I think we're referring to, right? A more enterprise, strategic B2B motion. You're typically doing pre-call research. You're putting that research into emails, messages, LinkedIn videos. Calling folks is a way to cut through the noise. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the recent times people have been working from home, but their email inbox has just become flooded. Even if you've spent hours writing, crafting the perfect, you know, email, you know, you fire that torpedo, but it's blocked by all the other crap in their inbox, you know, for lack of a better term. So with that, to neglect the phone to help you cut through the noise, I mean, I think that is a mistake in my opinion. You know, if any sales organization is neglecting the phone. So the phone in lockstep with email, LinkedIn, voicemail, texting, it is part of that holistic strategy. Yeah. And catching them on the right channel with the relevant message is key.
No, I think, you know, that's where I think you hit the nail on the head. And I knew you would go down that path. Obviously, you guys sell a phone solution, which is a phenomenal solution. But you're right. I mean, there is no silver bullet. There's never been a silver bullet in sales. There never will be a silver bullet in sales. You've got to be wherever that buyer, that prospect is. And you've got to be efficient at getting to them at the right time, at the right place, on the right channel. So, you know, I 100% agree with you. So what do you attribute from the biggest hurdle as it relates to salespeople? Like what is the biggest hurdle in your mind around cold calling with salespeople? Is it just skill set? Is it confidence? Is it a little bit of both? Is there something like, what is the challenge for most salespeople, as people you've coached, you've trained, obviously you've gone through it? Like, what do you see as the biggest challenge right now for sales professionals when it comes to cold calling, specifically on the phone, which I think is a little bit more in depth?
Your introduction, you really hit on it, right? It's never ending refinement, practice, and crafting of your message and your training and your sharpening. Cold calling, you have to stay sharp in your skills and your message and your responses to, you know, different complaints and objections. You know, I tell my reps all the time, you know, practice, right? Like, we have to constantly be practicing the objections. We have to constantly be practicing the opener, the message. And now these days, I mean, there's so many technologies to measure, you know, different parts of that cold call. And so you can start to understand, you know, where in the call you're getting held up. Are you getting held up in the introduction? You know, just even your opener when you're saying hello, are you getting held up in qualifying that person to make that message relevant? Is it your tonality? Is it your voice maturity? There's so many, you know, kind of variables here, right? It's the message, it's the way you're speaking, it's that maturity on the phone, it's that emotional EQ to read the room very quickly and make snap decisions of like where you want to take this phone.
So, because you bring up a good point, I want to kind of dig in there a bit. First and foremost, there is a lot of elements to the phone that you don't have to. It's a lot easier to sit behind a computer screen and just fire off emails, right? I think we can all agree that that's probably the easy. I don't think any of them's easy. Don't get me wrong. I do it still day in and day out. But to be able to do it on the fly on a call, and when I say fly, there's preparation, but still, you got to be able to read and react. My question to you is, how do you get better at that? Like, so is it all about the tone, tonality? Is it recording yourself? Like, what are some of the tips, the techniques, just the best practices to really hone in on, well, how is my tone? How is my tonality? How is my pace? Which I know for, you know, myself, it's a challenge because I get really fast. How do you start to do that, Colin, if you're a sales professional and really want to hone in on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's recording yourself. Absolutely. It's in an ideal world, it's role play, right? Role play with your colleagues. Obviously, you know, for the reps listening, role play with your manager. Put time on their calendar and practice. You know, get that feedback. I think it's also, you know, imperative that your manager, you know, knows how to coach for cold calling. I think, you know, in many sales organizations today, like, you might actually have a manager that is themselves not enabled for the phone, and therefore they might not have the confidence to give the kind of coaching you're looking for. But, you know, now with LinkedIn and all these like Slack communities, you know, Rev Genius and Revenue Collective and, and Thursday Night Sales, all these guys are out there. I think you can find peers to practice with. And I know there are tons of reps that want to, you know, sharpen their steel just as much as you do. So like that would be number one recommendation is practice. I know it's as simple as that, but like it is, you got to practice your jump shot.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron James is practicing his jump shot after winning the championship, right? Like it's, you know, that's just the reality. You have to stay sharp. You got to practice that swing, you know?
100% agree with you. I mean, I've heard this go back and forth and it kind of dovetails and there's a few questions I have for you, but you know, I've always heard the people say, I don't use a script or a script is bogus. We don't, you know, I don't like using a script. What's your thoughts on script? Like just at a whole holistic level, when it comes to phone work, do you buy the script? Like, hey, you need to have a script. Now that doesn't mean these are sound scripted, but yes or no?
But the answer to both your question, to both your points there is yes. Yes, you need a script. Yes, you don't want to sound scripted. So I'll tell you a quick story. So, you know, the folks that we target, you know, are generally people on our partner CRMs and engagement platforms, outreach, Salesforce, people on SalesLoft, because our technology can really help those sales organizations. And I was making some cold calls and I didn't have my script in front of me, but you know, I know my script by like the back of my hand at this point, but I get the chief revenue officer for one of these strategic accounts on the phone. And I'm going through my intro's going great. You know, they're keeping you busy today. Yes. Great. Yeah. You know, I know you're not in the trenches dialing every day, but you know, going into my pitch and I'm getting information from him. He's like, yeah, we have, you know, a couple hundred reps making cold calls every day. We're on outreach. Am I like, and this is information I did not know about the account. Right. And I literally blacked out. And like, I was like, where do I, I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. I didn't have my script up. I'm like, wait, I can't remember how to like transition. And I've been, you know, cold calling forever, you know, and, you know, and the call might not have gone to the textbook script that it could have and should have normally under normal circumstances, but like, you don't want to leave that room for error. Like you should always have your script or your message up in front of you to lean on and depend on, even for someone at, you know, not to toot my horn at like what level I'm at, but just like at someone that's been in the game for, you know, over 10 years, like I still need it. I still need to have that script in front of me. And I wouldn't say I sound scripted necessarily. Right. And I tell the same of my reps, keep the script in front of you, keep the objection handles all in front of you, the competitor insights in front of you. So those are the points there.
No, that's helpful, man. I mean, I used to have an old mentor many moons ago that said, listen, man, you need a script. Actors use scripts, but they don't sound like they're using scripts because they learned them. And that's why Brad Pitt doesn't sound like, you know, he's reading off of a script, or Leonardo DiCaprio. Like that's the same premise in sales. Like you've got to know that like the back of your hand and then weave that into your natural ability. So I always get amazed when I see those things going back and forth on LinkedIn around some of these topics around, you don't need a script, you know, it makes it too robotic. Well, then that just means you haven't learned it. I mean, because it's robotic because you haven't learned it well enough. So just wanted to get your take. What's your thoughts around day, time? Does that make a difference when making the calls? Is it that much of a difference? If it does, help understand. I know you guys go through all the analytics through your own platform. Like, are you seeing something that is just so astronomical? Like, Sam, never call this day, this time, or is it universal? Help me understand that a bit more.
Yeah, I think it's evolved with the environment we've been in the last year, because like, look at your own calendar, right? Like we've all been on back-to-back-to-back-to-back Zooms, you know? Yeah. And so what we had started doing was as soon as our Zoom meetings would end, you got on and would make some calls in those kind of brief, you know, 15 minutes before bottom or top of the hour, and you would catch people and it would be the same exact objection every time, which we just trained on handling. It was, oh, I'm about to start a meeting, or people actually answer the phone on Zoom meetings because they're so tired of the Zoom meeting that they're on. So you hear the Zoom meeting in the background, like, I'm on a meeting right now. I can't talk. Yeah. Or I'm about to start a meeting. I can't talk right now. Yeah. That's just a brush off, right? But they've picked the phone up. You have your window of opportunity. And I got this objection handle actually from Beck Holland, who I know, you know, is another one of the LinkedIn, you know, sales folks out there. And you know, I'll give credit where credit's due. We use this one here all the time. We say, you know, when they say, yeah, I'm about to run into a meeting, like, hey, I know I caught you cold. You mind if I level with you real quick to see if it's worth even following up when you're available, right? Like, just like, hey, do you mind if I level with you real quick?
Right.
Sam, I know I caught you cold. Do you mind if I level with you real quick?
Right.
I get a little pause. See if it's even worth me calling again. Like, letting you also know, I'm going to call you again. Do you even want me to call you again?
Right.
We do a little bit of an upfront contract there. Yeah, do you mind if I level with you real quick? Give you, you know, 30 second overview of what we do. You let me know if it's even worth me calling again or a longer scheduled conversation. And that buys you that time or that second chance to go into the pitch.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say that increases at minimum your 50% more chance of that conversation progressing, at least to a point where you can qualify, hey, are you on the CRMs that we partner with? Do you have reps enabled for the phones, right? Every company has their own kind of qualification criteria to know if it's worth pursuing this account. So to answer the question on timing, I think it has evolved. I think with the Zoom meetings factored in, you kind of catch people in between Zooms, even on Zooms. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, you know, and it also varies by industries, right? Like in the restaurant industry, you know, you don't call during peak restaurant time, right? Like when people are dining and kitchen prep is happening. But it really depends who you call, who your ICP, your ideal customer profile is, the personas that you're focused on. But you can start to track that data and inform your own target times and call block times. And part of what we're doing is absolutely providing analytics to show you when your ideal connect rates are. And then you know when to schedule those call blocks. Because like, Sam, your call block at 11 a.m. Eastern might not be the call block my team at, you know, 1 p.m. Pacific does, right? Like, so I think it is unique to each kind of vertical you're targeting, et cetera.
You know, I'm glad you brought up call blocks because, you know, I have found through my tenure, no stretch of the imagination, I think I'm a pro at the phone. I mean, there's a lot of work I need to do on it. But I have found that if you give me any inkling to get out of phone work, I will try to get out of it as a salesperson. Unless you have scheduled phone blocks. Like I remember going back to my days at Cintas, we had two scheduled phone blocks. Like you had to be phone block. You had to be at your desk dialing for dollars back in the days between these times. Like you couldn't get 4-hour phone blocks. Like, is that still relevant? Like, do you recommend, hey, you have to have allocated time for phone block versus, hey, I'm going to pick up the phone an hour here, 10 minutes here, 20 minutes there. What's your thoughts around call blocks? I know you brought it up, so I just wanted to kind of elaborate a bit.
I'm a big fan. I think, you know, I think you need some focused time to get into that rhythm. You know, I think with, not to do self-promoting, but I'll do a little, like with a technology like ours, like you could log on for 5 minutes, get to a couple conversations, right? Like at least have a couple qualification conversations in that short 5-minute window, right? But yes, we recommend to all of our clients to have dedicated call blocks, minimum 30 minutes long, ideally an hour long, ideally twice a day. You know, I think you should at least have 90 minutes, you know, each day that calling makes sense for the people that you reach out to. You know, we have clients that do PG Tuesdays, PG Mondays, right? Some people say we don't cold call on Mondays. They just do list building then, right? So it just depends on your organization. But yes, the short answer is, I think it takes time to get into the flow. I think it takes you time to get warmed up and in that zone where you're, and I do think you can get to a flow state. Right? Like you get flow states from playing sports and everything else. But like when this is your craft, when this is like part of your job, you know, you want to really sharpen and refine the skill. And I think going from one conversation to the next really warms you up, you know, to that persona, to that person, the consistent people that you're pitching. So.
No, that's good feedback. And, you know, I think, you know, as we're talking about this and just thinking out loud, and I'm really big, you know, my goal, you know, as we've shared on previous shows is we really want this to be tactical, practical, tactical, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, as I'm thinking through this, you know, I always think about the basic blocking and tackling. What do we forget to do? Like just the basics that we need to get back to. And just a call block is a basic. Like, that's a fundamental that you should be weaving in. Like, if you look at my calendar, you should have two blocks, three blocks, to your point, hour and a half blocked off on your calendar. So no one can schedule over them. No one could put an internal meeting over them. Like, it's dedicated for phone block. And I'm a big believer to your ICP conversation that, you know what? You've got to get in the flow. You're right. That flow is so important. I used to actually give myself the very first 5-10 dials of my initial phone blocks on a little bit warmer call, to kind of where somebody's not going to be killing me. Like, I may have talked to them once before. It isn't necessarily cold, but it gets me my mojo going, get a little confidence going before I'm just heading right into the cold calls. And that was my technique, just to build some initial confidence. That, you know, I get two or three bad calls, it's a lot easier to hang up and never pick up the phone again. Oh, if yeah. You can get a couple wins under your belt, what's your thoughts around that? Any tips, techniques that you've kind of adopted that's really been good from a confidence standpoint, technique standpoint?
Well, I think practicing, getting your marbles out, getting, like, you know, fumbling with your peers in those training sessions and generally not on the phone with a prospect, but it does happen, right? And if it does happen, like, we're human, you can catch yourself. And right. You can say, hey, I'm totally blowing this conversation right now. You mind if I level with you real quick? And just, you need a pattern to interrupt yourself, you know, like, wow, I'm fumbling over this. You mind if I level with you real quick and just cut to the chase, like, what we're doing here, why I'm calling, you know, like, if you just find yourself stumbling. But yeah, I think it's funny, like, you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum you're talking about, right? You're talking about, like, getting maybe a couple of rejections, whatever, that could be like a feeling of like wanting to give up.
Right.
It's what I often see more often is a rep will have a great conversation or actually book a meeting, and then they hang it up. They're like, that's it. I did it. I'm the best. Like, I just booked that meeting. I'm done, man. I did mine today, and they're good. And that's it. Like the activity just, like, they're just on cloud nine. But, like, I would say you need to ride that cloud nine, that feeling, right? Like success breeds success. Like, let's go. Let's hit the button again. Let's go. Like I've caught myself doing that. Like, you're elated after a demo. You're like, I need to share this with everybody.
But you need to,
I would say, get right back in it right then. So.
That's funny, Colin. It's a good catch because, you know, I do that. I've done that. Like, I've got a meeting. I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, phone box over. Let's move on with our life.
Right.
But you're right. You've got to capitalize on the momentum, just like you would a rejection. But I think a little bit that's human nature, right? You want to celebrate the win. We want to be optimistic, but for sure. The rejection aspect of things as well. So I think that's a good call out. Anything else? I've done the role playing. And, you know, role playing is always fun. I like to get my iPhone recorder and I like to just rehearse my script. Like, I'll just do it back and forth. Record it, play it back. Record it, play it back. Like, I just do it 100 times. That's my goal. I want to do it 100 times and I want to listen to it 100 times. Before, now, Colin, here's what I've got. And you tell me if I'm just losing my mind. And I think this is where some reps lose their way and why they think scripts don't work is you can't reiterate too quickly. Like, you can't be constantly tweaking and changing because you've got to have the overall talking points pretty well boiled down before you start reiterating, because you never learn something if you keep changing over and over on the fly. Does that make sense, Colin? What's your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I do think you need to maintain, you know, a consistent framework of your script. And that way you can start to get going into the call block, going into rejections, going to booking meeting. It comes down to numbers. It's still a numbers game. Like, how many dials, how many connects, how many conversations to a meeting booked, right? Yeah. And, like, if you know your team's averages, you know how many dials you're away from potential meeting every day. And so on that same token, right, within the message, you don't want to deviate from at least the framework. Like, you kind of have, you bring your authentic personality to the sale. Absolutely. That's the art. The art is you, Sam. The art is me, me, myself, and bringing that personality to the call. But the framework of that messaging, the specific words chosen to describe your value proposition, those should not be modified willy-nilly, in my opinion, because you guys can collect so much better data on how those words are resonating with your ideal customers. And then you know where to make tweaks, like making small tweaks to small words, you know, can make all the world a difference, you know, and kind of edging your conversion rates higher and higher.
No, that's great feedback, man. I think those are one of the things that it takes. That takes discipline, right? That's all the discipline to stay the course a bit. I know we talk about adapting, and as salespeople, we always want to be adapting and testing things. But there's also a time to stay the course and focus on the core fundamentals. I remember the days, Colin, I know before a solution like an Aurum, but even the old tick marks to your contacts, to dials, to appointments, we used to give a little tick mark for every dial, a tick mark for every contact, and a tick mark for every meeting. And I used to try and break that out into blocks, you know, my blocks for the morning, my blocks for the afternoon, so I can start to see the trend lines in a very manual format of, hey, you know what, when I'm dialing on Tuesday at, you know, in the afternoon, I get no contacts, but on Thursday in the morning, my contact ratio is through the roof. And that's when I may start reiterating and saying, hey, that's the time I need to be calling, or that's the time I should weave into a longer phone block, perhaps. Those are all things. I've always been a big believer that you have to know your numbers. As a salesperson, you've got to know your numbers inside and out, because that's the only two things you can really control, right, Callan, is your activity and your skill.
Yeah.
One's lacking, you got to pick up the slack with the other.
Activity and attitude. That's, I tell my team every sales meeting, any chance I can get, you know, if I hear someone complaining about, you know, whether it's a process change, whether it's anything, it really comes down to activity and attitude. Like, control the things that are in your control, and, you know, like, let's use data to make more informed decisions on, you know, changes to the timing or the message. You know, these days you can really track and measure everything. So it's, I think we're really advancing that to get, you know, to create the ultra, you know, sales person. But look, we're still human. Like I just mentioned, I blacked out on a cold call the other day, you know, like, we make mistakes, we do deviate from the script, but it takes extreme discipline. It takes practice to make sure you're hitting that jump shot every time, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't go easy there. So.
No, without a doubt. And I think you hit the nail on that. I mean, I know it sounds so fundamental and it sounds so simplistic, but I'm just trying to boil this down. Your practice, get your iPhone, record it, play it back. To your point, find a colleague to set up scheduled role-playing times, even if it's 10 minutes every other day, 15, whatever the magic number is. Even if you have to start small and build up, fantastic. Get on the calendar of your leader and say, listen, I want to find 30 minutes every other day on your calendar. Is that cool? So we can role play. Fantastic. Find a LinkedIn group. Like, I think you said RevGen, and then Thursday Sales Nights, I think it is. There's a number of them out there, right, Colin? Am I missing anything from a training and just performance standpoint?
No, look, I really keeping it simple. You know, practice. You know, that's you know, talking about cold calls, practice. You need to have a good data provider. You need to have a good message. You need to make sure that you've kind of nailed down the ideal customer profile of who you're focused on reaching out to, and what message is resonating with that target, you know, persona, right? And you've hopefully done that through some data. I mean, if you're a startup trying to figure it out, you're going to have to do a lot of testing and tweaking and, like, collect the feedback and figure it out. Like, in the early days of Namely, we were trying to call, like, you know, everyone from talent managers to HR coordinators to VPs to CHROs, and, you know, different messages would work with different people. And same here at Aurum, you know, different messages work for the VP of sales versus the VP of demand gen or VP of marketing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to invest the time to craft and tweak and refine. And I think to make that scalable, having a persona-based, you know, flow with your call block is another tactical piece of advice I would give. Like, if you're calling, call back to back the same persona so that messaging doesn't have to deviate too much, versus going from VP of sales to CRO to CMO to VP of demand gen. No, like, persona based, it's going to help you scale those conversations, help you stay on track, because we're human. We make mistakes. We're going to fall off the guardrails.
That's a good call out, Colin. I mean, that's a great one. And Yeah. So, hey, so just to kind of boil that down, hey, focus on specific personas. That way, when you're dialing down the list, you're dialing every VP of sale, right? Because so that the pain points are going to be pretty systematic. VP of sale, here's the systematic pain points. That way, you're not having to try to adjust and think on the fly. Fair enough. Yeah. Is that what you?
You nailed it. Like, and then you consistently can like predict. Like normally, when I talk to a VP of sales, these are the three things that I know they're thinking about. You know, as a Series A VP of sales, these are probably the three things you're worried about. As a pre-IPO VP of sales, these are probably the three things you're worried about, right? Like really getting persona refined, right? And I think, you know, and companies at different stages are going to be thinking about different things and knowing what your solution solves for at those different stages and what resonates and what might be a personal win for those people that you're calling to what they might be focused on is critical. So.
No, I think that's a good call out, man. I think the persona, one thing we've done that's been helpful for us, and I've seen some success in it, is we layer in, not, this isn't applicable to everybody. Not everyone has sub, I guess everybody should have sub industries within their core target industries, if you will. Like for us, it's retail, but then within retail, you get your sub industries, apparel and accessories, shoes, sporting goods, all, you know, electronics. What I like to do is actually bucket my calls by the sub industry. So if I'm talking to, you know, apparel and accessories, that's typically a different use case, a different talk track than talking to someone in liquor or music and books or whatever the case might be. And that just helps me continue to refine that talk track. So I don't have to think as much on the fly. I know that may sound bad. I still think on the fly, but you've got to make it as easy on yourself as you possibly can. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. You know, try and reduce risk, you know, reduce risk in your deals, reduce risk in your cold calls, you know, any way you can. We're humans. So we make mistakes, as I mentioned. So anyways, you can put yourself into a process and create consistency. It's going to help you because it's, you know, like it's tough to stay disciplined. It's tough to stay on track and to add extra variables just makes it harder on yourself. So, you know, that, and a lot of that will come down to list building and filtering and it does take prep work, but when you put in that prep work, I promise you it's going to pay dividends and you're going to be flying and it's going to be awesome.
No, and that's great feedback, man. And I know as we're talking through this and as we're talking, and I know we beat a dead horse here around practice. I've actually later in my life have really thought the success or failure, I hate to say failure, area of opportunity, if you will.
Sure.
Really comes down to confidence. Like every great rep I've dealt with or interact with that's good on the phone, there's a certain amount of confidence that they've developed because they've rehearsed, they've practiced, they've made 2 million calls, they've done it day in and day out. And you just got to go through that grind. You've got to rehearse so much, practice so much that the confidence increases. And then naturally, as your confidence increases, the skill begins, the performance begins to improve. And it's kind of a yin and yang. They keep feeding one another. The more confident I get, the better I get. It's kind of that, you know, that old saying that you just got to keep that confidence going.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And like, you know, I had stepped away from cold calling for a couple of years once I had become a director at Namely. I was more in the coach role, management role. And then when I went back to Orem, gosh, it was like really shaking the rust off, you know, like, because it's one of those skills where if you haven't shot the ball in a while, you know, gosh, like it could take quite a few practice swings to get back into that groove. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales, like cold calling is one of those skills that if you don't use it, you lose it. It's just a way, no easy way to say it. So yeah. Practicing consistently is going to be key here.
No, that's awesome, man. Hey, so I know we're bumping up against it. So final thoughts from you, Colin, kind of final tips, takeaways, thoughts, feedback, whatever, you know, as you're thinking about people listening, whether they're new to sales or somewhat tenured, I know they're different groups of people, but what would be some of the tips, techniques, feedback, final thoughts that you might be able to offer up?
Yeah, it's, you know, when I was new to cold calling, I would read and listen to as much as I could in terms of objection handles. And I think I read a book called The Sales Bible by like Jeffrey Gitomer that ran through, you know, objection handles in my early career, I had stumbled upon Grant Cardone. I know people give Grant Cardone a lot of heat, but he actually has this book called The Closer's Survival Guide. And I had the audio tape, and as an SDR, I would just only save the tracks that were the objection handles. Skip all the fluff. But in that book, he runs through every objection handle. Like, I'm not interested. I'm busy right now. Oh, we don't have budget. And how to handle every single objection. And I would just listen to those on repeat. Out loud, I'd say them walking the subway in New York or driving the car in LA. And you know, learning from others, that's a great way to sharpen your skills as well.
No, that's great, man. And I know you and I don't know how close we are. I'm an old man in today's day and age. I remember the days of actually having to go and buy a book off the shelf or buy one of those audio cassettes, pop it into your tape player and listen to it on your cold calling days. But there's really no excuse in today's day and age. I mean, there's podcasts like us. I mean, there's a million podcasts. There's a million webinars. There's a million ebooks. There's so much at your disposal. Is there any excuse? I can't think of one. No.
No excuse. Yeah. I mean, look, like there's, if you want a more modern person, as I mentioned, Beck Holland earlier, she's got a great, you know, free stuff on YouTube, free. She just is putting her content out there. It's great. You know, there's a number of folks. I'm trying to just think off the top of my head, but you know, it's, there's tons of resources out there. You just have to look, and like the ones that have sustained through the tests of time, it's for a reason, because the same objections have come up probably since people were selling in the bazaars and the shooks of, you know, the Middle East on the Silk Road or something, you know what I mean? So it's the same situations. We're still responding the same way. So it's too expensive and I don't have time. So I think I'll leave you with that, you know, just, you know, constantly be, you know, digesting as much information as you can, practice, and check out Aurum.
Awesome.
All the more easier to get into live conversations. That's what we focus on for you.
Awesome. Well, that's actually my next question. You know, for a couple of things, because you're well versed in this and you have some knowledge. I'm sure you're a big believer in coaching. That's your background. I'm sure if someone reached out to you, say, hey, Colin, is there any tips? Can I maybe get 15 minutes with you or whatever? You're the type of guy that's like, hey, if I can make it happen, I'm happy to make it happen. Sure. How can people get a hold of you online? And then obviously, how can they find Aurum as well?
Yeah. You find me on LinkedIn. Shoot me a connection. I'm always posting content on LinkedIn. I try and keep it relevant, you know, to cold call and sales profession and discovery calls, negotiate. I mean, we cover everything. LinkedIn is great. Aurum, it's O-R-U-M as in mother, HQ.com. Check it out. We have a free trial. Aurum will help you get into instant live conversations with your target buyers. That's our whole goal for you. So sharpen your skills, get on Aurum and put it to practice is what I would leave everyone here with.
Fantastic, man. Well, hey, Colin, sincerely appreciate you taking some time tonight. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Sam, really appreciate you having me on the show again. And you know, congratulations on everything and the launch of Sales Samurai. It was a pleasure being here.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Sales Samurai podcast with your host, Sam Capra. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast and visit salessamurai.io and join the conversation, access show notes, and discover bonus content.